Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there. I would like to welcome you to another Rahalastapa with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, John Parkin, the Beast. Look, you might not know who this guy is because he's a York City, ex-York City football player. And has played for a lot of teams in pretty much every level of the game. I'm not hugely into football. I love York City. But this guy is well worth your time, I have to say. He is quite a character and does a brilliant podcast as well, which we'll talk about in the show. He gets up to some shenanigans. I think you're going to like him. Okay, look, if you like this stuff, why not go to gofasterstripe.com. You can buy some DVDs, some downloads, some books, which will help us make more stuff. You can still buy the Rubik's Cube. No, not the Rubik's Cube. You can't buy that. Sorry. You can buy the Trump card game. It's very entertaining, fully playable. Lots of all my favorite guests. And you can also become a badger. gofasterstripe.com/badges and help us make more podcasts. All that money goes into making more podcasts. If you like the podcast, chuck in some money, we'll make you more entertainment. I mean, it seems a pretty good deal to me. £3 a month, £5 a month, £10 a month, whatever you want. You get a different colour badge the more you give. And maybe a few little bonus extras if you give a bit more coming up later in the year. But you get plenty of stuff even for the £3 a month, like backstage videos. You can see the snooker tournament, lots of stuff. Oh no, my son's going to come and attack me. I'm going to have to go. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahalastapa with John Parkin. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Grand Opera House in York again for another week. We're back. We loved it so much last week, we've come back another week. It's a different week. Please welcome a man who's terrified about being in the most haunted city in Europe. It's Richard Herring. Hello, how are we doing, York? Oh, God, you are so much better than last week's audience. Blood from a stone. It was like blood from a stone last week. Terrible they were. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lynching Shambles Tourist Podcast. Just anyone who's going to see Harry Potter, where Harry Potter came from, we're just going to get... It's a different idea for the podcast. We just drag him in, lynch him, and then we just all say someone came in and did that, like in Murder in the Orient Express. We'll get away with it if we all just say it was someone else. But I was talking to the Duke of York the other day. Your Duke of... Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, your Duke. They love in York. They love... They love so much that whoever's the best at being a in York, they make them the Duke of York. That's their little thing. That's they sort of honour them in that way. He's had 10,000 he marched them up the hill, marched them down, up and down, so they were so confused they didn't know where what was up and what was down. Then he that's what's going on. Some of that's going to get bleeped. Anyway, who calls it Rehellastopus? I don't know if that's going to... catch on. So, it's a great place, York. Aside from that, I mean, you know, Leeds, Jimmy Savile. It's a terrible count. It's just the worst count. I'm ashamed to be from Yorkshire, I have to say. But I am, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's the most haunted city in Europe. Did you know that fact? I don't know how they work that out. Because, you know, you have to presumably, you know... do some kind of questionnaire for the ghosts in each town. What if they just don't come out in a different city? I don't know. Who's seen a ghost? Just by cheering, who has seen a ghost in York? Cheer now. The most haunted city. No one has seen a ghost. Terrible. Did you know it's legal to shoot a Scotsman on Sunday with a bow and arrow in York? Do you know that? So I'm leaving tonight because if I go out and do my Scotch accent, it's going to be a terrible thing. Right, we're going to crack straight on with this week's guest. We've got a fantastic guest for you. He's probably best known. Which one am I going to choose? It's kind of slightly. let's say he's best known for pooing in a bath in Magaluf. Will you please welcome the fantastic, the beast, is John Barkin, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Yeah, good. Sit down here. There's a microphone. Just talk into the microphone. Pick that up and talk into it. I'm hoping you'll fit. These chairs are quite tight on me, so are you in? Is it snug?
Shit in plenty more buffs as well, by the way.
We can talk. I'm sure that story will come up, but it's lovely to have you here. I'm a massive fan of your work. I'm a, if you can call it that, kicking a ball around.
This is not fucking hard work, is it?
This is very hard work, John. You do know you've got a podcast. Damn, I can't pretend. No, I'm very excited to have you on. That's why I've just been cheeky, and I'm quite scared about whether I'll get to the end. To be fair. But I'm a York City supporter, and obviously you've had a couple of stints at York and ended your days there. I was saying I saw you play a team that I can't even remember the name of. And you said in your book, which is fantastic, we'll talk about more, that when you were playing in non-league football, often you were quite surprised to find out what teams there were. You didn't recognise them.
I actually did not know. So we'd be playing a certain team, and I did not know geographically where on earth it were.
Yeah. And it does get confusing down there, so we can at least thank York for this terrible run of form to make us better aware of the United Kingdom.
It's done wonders for my geography.
I sort of have this recurring dream, and I'm not good at
football. About me?
I know, it sort of is about you. I have this recurring dream where I'm playing for York City, but it's me as a 52-year-old fat man. But do you ever... wonder if that's what's been happening to you.
I were a 37-year-old.
But I was saying this to you backstage. I think, you know, you have a kind of reputation amongst the fans. They feed the beast. They all know about what you are as a player. Is you're quite an unorthodox way of training, as you talk about again in the book, which is called Feed the Beast. So they know that you prepare for matches by not in the most traditional way that we would associate modern-day footballers with, I would say.
Friday nights, I used to stay in hotels and stuff like that before games, and I'd have fish cakes, a Marriott burger, chips. Saturday morning, I'd have a full English.
Yeah.
And by the way, I weren't at fucking York City then, by the way. I were in a decent league in the Championship. sorry, that's a bit harsh, sorry. So yeah, but that's just what I did.
Yeah.
Whether it were right or wrong, seemed to work.
Yeah. And because you, the book, which is really fun, it's, I think the book, as I was saying, getting to you backstage, but it's unusual for someone who isn't, you know, like a world famous player in the Premiership all the time to write their autobiography. So it's quite unusual to get the story of someone. And you've played in all, in pretty much every division we've got at one time or another. But so you've been up and down, you've really had that whole experience as a footballer. But we don't get to hear those stories of what it's like to be, do we? Because we hear about Beckham or someone like that. And we don't get to hear about the, I mean, I want to say sort of journeyman footballer, but that's...
You're right.
But that's kind of a really interesting perspective. And also we don't get to hear many working class people writing their autobiography. So it's incredible you've got this opportunity to...
I wouldn't even say I'm working class. I'd say we're probably a little bit lower than that today.
Okay. But it's a really fascinating book. And I think even if you don't, if you're not interested in football, I don't think that even matters. Would you say? Because it's about your, yeah, it's about
probably,
your life.
Probably not. I would say there's only 70% of it is not actually football related.
No.
I mean, who wants to hear about fucking Gary Neville playing in the European Cup final? Bollocks, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, playing the European Cup final, well done. Yeah. Went there, we played, we won.
Yeah.
I want to hear about Gary Neville shagging and stuff like that. But obviously, that's never going to come out, so no. that's why mine were a little bit different.
Your book's very honest. And you say it's not about football. A lot of it's about food. And my favourite bits are about food.
That's why you like the book
so
much.
I do. I've lost 2 stone this year, so imagine what it was like before.
Just another 3 to go.
I've gone up half. But my favourite story in the whole book is you going to a meeting with the chairman of the clubs, and they're taking you out to dinner, and they're going to pay for dinner, and then they go straight to mains, and the story is... You're disappointed because you didn't get a starter.
Furious.
Yeah.
Absolutely furious.
And so furious it's in your book.
Yeah.
And that is my favourite bit of the book.
I was actually a Premiership footballer then.
Yeah, yeah.
I weren't, but I was classed as a Premiership footballer. And I went to speak to the chairman and the manager at Preston. And I trained in the morning at Stoke, travelled up. So we take you out for Italian. I'm thinking, oh, fantastic, brilliant. Even if I don't sign, I've got a free fucking meal. Right? So the menus come. Obviously, I like a pint, but I had to order water. There's the first shitter. So the waitress comes over. Obviously, I let the chairman of the football club, who's hopefully going to sign us, and the manager, and they just went straight to mains.
Yeah.
Who fucking goes out for food and skips the starters?
Yeah.
I've never done it before. So I'd eaten in Stoke at probably 1 o'clock, and this is 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So I had the spag bol. I thought that's probably the best thing I can order. And had me chat with the manager and the chairman, and everything went fantastic. I thought I'll travel back down to Stoke tonight, save going home to travel back in the morning. Gets on the motorway, I seen the Golden Archers. Fuck it, I'm in. So I had a big McDonald's on the way back down to Stoke. Fortunately.
So the spag bol was your starter, that's fine.
Basically, yeah. Spag bol starter for a McChicken sandwich and 2 double cheeseburger main.
But, I mean, you're a very popular player with the fans, I think, and with the other players. Because you've got this honesty. I mean, you're a cheeky guy. You're a bit of a prankster as well. But this, the idea that you can be like a professional footballer and you get to your summer holidays and you basically go, right, I'm having a summer holiday and start drinking, more or less, right? I mean, you'd stop drinking particularly, but...
Yeah, but... To be fair, I always choose to drink at the right times.
Yeah.
So Saturday, Sunday and Wednesday.
Right.
So they're the right times.
Yeah.
If there's bad times, it's Thursday, Friday. So I used to leave off then. But no, the summer for me was... I'd, believe it or not, people had worked harder, but I'd drafted my balls off for 10 months.
Yeah.
Solid. So for them 2 months, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do and fucking relax.
Yeah.
Used to get here on like the first day of pre-season, obviously, lads are nervous thinking what we're going to do, have I put any weight on and stuff. And the question is, have you done much? That's the question that everybody, have you done much? Yeah, I've done a few runs here. Have you done much? Fucking nothing. Last time I had a sweat on, apart from lying on the sun lounge, you know, in your belly button, and you're tapping it. The last time I had a sweat on from exercise was the last time I played.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what I would like to think, you know, if I was a footballer, that's what I'd like to think I would do. But it worked for you, and you say you didn't want to do weights, upper body, you never did upper body weights.
No.
Because you're a big guy, right? So you'd just make you a bigger guy, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, and I couldn't run it as it were.
No.
I mean, if I didn't even fucking mutter it. Yeah, I used to, so many times we've used to go into new clubs and the fitness coach has said the manager wants you to do some weights and lose some timber and stuff. And I just said, look, I tell you what, right? If you think I need to do weights, me and you, take us clothes off. Get on the training pitch. We'll have a naked wrestle. If you beat me, I'll start doing weight. If I beat you, you can shove them up your fucking ass. And they'll just shove them up their ass.
And you scored 225 goals in your career, something like that. So well over 200 goals. So it was, and you was in your last couple, well, one of the last seasons, you had 25 goals in that penultimate season, I think. So yeah. You were still knocking them in.
I think I were actually all right.
Yeah.
You know, like when I look back now.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought, I'm not fucking great here. But as I said, when I look back, I were actually all right.
Yeah.
Could have been better, but I won't have changed my life, I don't think.
No. The book's all about how you wouldn't change. And it's, you know, there's a part of you thinking, oh, John, you know, God, if you just... You know, you could go for this, you could train a bit harder, you could cut down on the pork pies a bit and push on. You know, you get to the Premiership and you play one game for in the League Cup or something like that, isn't it? You're a Premiership footballer. So, you know, you get that far. It's sort of, do you think you might have got further if you'd done things differently?
I probably would have done, but I wouldn't have wanted to be a Premiership footballer where if I fell out of a nightclub, which happened 3 or 4 times a month, be on the back page or the front page of the papers.
Yeah.
I'm totally, totally content with... I had a very good career for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Which is more than I could have ever thought about when I was 13, 14. So that's how I look at it. I don't regret anything, really.
No. I think a lot of the appeal of you as a player and a person is that you're totally yourself. You're very honest. I mean, except when you're lying.
I had to lie.
Yeah, you did lie a lot. But you're very honest in the book, so the book reveals a few things that you maybe hadn't told people. But it's you know, there's that... The sense where the manager's sometimes keeping you there for the camaraderie, but also when you come into clubs, and especially the manager, if you like the manager, you make a difference with that team. You know, you made a lot of difference. You made a lot of difference with York, even though York did get relegated that season. They nearly didn't get relegated.
I mean,
they very nearly didn't get relegated, and it was incredible that they... It's gutting in the book when you remember it, but it's like the last kick of the game of another game that relegates York after you guys have really dug them out of a massive hole.
Yeah, it was. That was the worst thing that happened in my career. I'll tell you, it's the second worst. Getting relegated was the worst. The worst was realising we got into the game in 3 weeks. So instead of going on his holidays, we've got to play at fucking Wembley in the FA Trophy final. And I was supposed to go on holiday on the Saturday.
Right.
The final was the Sunday. I was fucking furious we got I missed 2 days of my holiday.
Yeah.
I had to pay for 2 new flights, which cost me more than the bonus for winning the fucking FA Trophy. Played at Wembley, won at Wembley, and it cost me money.
Yeah.
As you fucking
and
look.
And scored at Wembley. He scored 2 at Wembley, I think, in that game.
There were only one, to be fair, Lady Connolly. Yeah, and to be fair, I'm obviously joking a little bit. Not well, only a little bit, because I were furious. But the fact that, and he don't even fucking think it's anything. My little boy, who was probably 7, 8 at the time, he was mascot,
yeah,
or one of the mascots. So I've walked down out onto Wembley with my 7, 8-year-old boy, which not many people can do.
No.
I don't even know if fucking Gary Neville's done that. Fucking arsehole. So that's the thing, and he's got to see his dad score at Wembley.
Yeah.
And same as I say, he don't really give a fuck. But I know, so that's enough for me.
Yeah. It sort of sums up where York have been in the last few years. That it's sort of bizarre season where you're winning cups and getting relegated, and you're scoring at Wembley and getting relegated. It's sort of insane, but it's very typical of the highs and lows of being a York City supporter, I can say.
Yeah, it's been a tough sort of 4 or 5 years for the club, but should we talk about something more interesting?
Yeah, I know. There's nothing more interesting. Well, let's talk about let's talk about some of these incidents and some of your pranks that you've played. You mentioned the poo in the bath in Magaluf, which comes up in the book. Do you want to tell us how that came about? I've got an idea.
took my trousers down. I squatted. basically, what it was, I was sharing a room with a lad who were quite prim and proper. Why we got in the same room, I'll never know. But we'd been out all day, and he got ready first, and he went out, and I thought, I'll tell you what, he'll not appreciate a shit in the bath. I don't think many people would appreciate a shit in the bath, but so I've shit in the bath.
Yeah.
And then, so I've got ready, I've gone out, and it was torrential rain in Magaluf. It was sort of May, June, torrential rain. I don't know. Well, actually, we're in York, so probably not many people have been to Magaluf from here, will they? There's a big hill in Magaluf.
Yeah.
And there were two guys in full-body wetsuits aquaplaning down the middle of this hill. Anyway, I've nicked a bird. So I'm walking down the middle of the street holding this bird's hand. Suddenly, bush, one of these aquaplaners wipes her out. She's gone fucking flying, bless her. So she's sort of 4 or 5 yards further down this hill. She's dropped a bag, a purse and everything. And so I thought, gentlemen, I'll go and pick her up. So I've picked her up. She's got all her belongings and that in her bag. And she's got a cut on her arm. Magaluf's a terrible place for infection, I'm told. So I says, we need to get that cleaned up, love.
Yeah.
Luckily, my hotel is just around the corner. Nice.
Like you could have arranged the whole thing.
Almost, if I met one of these aquaplaners to fucking wipe her out. So he gets back to the hotel, opens the door, goes in, says, the bathroom's on the right-hand side. I went and lied in bed. Next thing I hear is the shower curtain. What the fucking hell is that? I says, what is it, love? What is it? She says, there's a massive shit in your bath. Oh, no. Thought, think on your feet. I says, you're fucking kidding me, the dirty bastard. I says, I went out before him. He's fucking shit it bath when I get in. Anyway, that was the Magaluf story. But I dread to think what she actually thought.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
It's all part of the experience of being on holiday, I'm sure.
You've not lived.
I mean, I haven't. I wish I could go back. In the book, there's the golf cart story, which is, again, this sort of impetuous nature you have that can... I mean, it could have been a lot worse, this story, than it turned out, couldn't it?
It pretty much sums me up,
yeah,
really.
I think it does.
It sums me up. I mean, we're in Austria on a pre-season trip. And we've got an afternoon off. And in two nights, we're playing against Real Madrid. Fuck it. The Real Madrid, not the big one in Spain. We're playing against that fucker, right? So you've got Ramos playing, Cannavaro, the keeper. He's meant to be decent. I'm terrible with names.
Yeah, me too.
Casillas, that's the one. Yeah. They've got fucking... it's proper Real Madrid. We've got the afternoon off, so we went for a game of golf. So we've got buggies, obviously. We've got a big game in 2 days. Gets to the top of this hill and... fuck it. So I put my foot down as fast as I could on this buggy. We've got to the bottom and it's sort of like a gravel track. I thought, fuck it, spin it. I'm 27 years old here, by the way. I'm not a kid. So I've spun the golf buggy and I've realised probably half turn, we're in trouble. So on the golf buggy, the driver's seat's on the left. So I've spun it that way. So I've bailed. Bearing in mind, I've got our goalkeeper sat next to me, who's looking forward to playing against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So I've bailed. Anyway, the golf buggy's just gone boom, 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 boom. Done two and a half rotations on its side, right? So the goalkeeper, Steve Simonson, so he's done two and a half rolls. So he's sort of popped his head up out of the thing. You know, like the old cartoons with the fucking birds.
Yeah.
You can see the birds playing around his head. What the fuck are you doing? Anyway, I looked at my leg and all my legs gashed and full of stones and stuff like that. And I weren't too worried about that. It was the golf buggy that I was most worried about.
Yeah.
The roof was smashed in. The screen was smashed. Everything's bent on it. So I says to him, we have to get this back. Anyway, we had to wheel it back. It wouldn't work. It was fucked. So we've wheeled it back to the pro shop. Just look, we've had a bit of an accident. I think he shouted at us in Austrian. Fuck knows what he said. So luckily, I managed to play the game against Real Madrid and I got Cannavaro's shirt, which were incredible. And then I got a bill. Got a bill for the golf buggy.
Yeah.
Which I think were about 1,200 quid.
Yeah.
So it was an expensive fucking ride around.
You lost a lot of weeks' wages one way or another, didn't you? Over the course of your career, there's a lot of fines coming in there.
Yeah.
I mean... They must have kind of loved you to keep... The managers must have been... I mean, I know you didn't get on with some of them, but they must have... To keep on putting up with these things...
Thing is, it were never anything too bad.
No.
You know what I mean? It weren't like sacking tackles, if you know what I mean. You know, like, that's out of order, you're sacked.
Yeah.
We're never that bad. I mean, I must have got fined in... Oh, I don't want to think about it in a monetary aspect. I must have been fined 5-6 months wages throughout my career, which...
2 grand.
2 grand is what the man claimed in the audience there. That's very, very, that's very rude, isn't it?
I don't even think I were on that much. Yeah, 1 week might have been.
But it's... I mean, I find that you're very honest in the book about the managers you like and the managers you don't like. And, you know, you moved a lot of clubs. I mean, it's like when I used to be on TV, they kept moving our show around in the schedules to give the other programmes a chance, is what I used to say. But it feels a bit like you were hopping from what you'd get on with the manager. And this is very like TV as well. You'd get on with someone and then they'd get sacked or they'd move on someone else. And then you're inherited by someone else who doesn't necessarily want you. So whatever the previous manager sees in you will know and understand. And I think there's an element where you're a great player, but I think you must have been really good for the camaraderie of the teams. And there's one of the managers talking about how he's not going to play you, but he likes having you around in the dressing room.
That's when I were a Premiership footballer.
Yeah.
Tony Pulis at Stoke. obviously, we got promoted with Stoke, which were fucking incredible. Incredible summer we had. First day, Tony Pulis's pre-season, he do the bleep test, which is basically this cone, maybe 20, 25 metres. And you've got to run on the beep. And obviously the beep gets quicker, quicker, quicker. And then when you miss the beep twice, that's you. So a reasonable standard for the bleep test would probably be 13 and a half for your first. Some of the lads are getting 16, 17, 18. I dropped out at level 9.8 as a Premiership footballer. Yeah. I'm an actual player. Anyway. So I weren't going to play much. No. You know what I mean? It was pretty obvious. And when Preston was signing us. So I went to see Tony Pulis. I just said, look, I'd like to leave. And he went, you're not leaving? I says, why? He says, because I like you around the place.
Yeah.
I says, what do you mean? I like you. He says, I like having you in the dressing room. I says, I'm not a fucking performing puppet. You know what I mean? I says, give me a break. And I was on really good money.
Of course, yeah.
More than what fucking is. And he was more than happy for me to just come in and entertain the rest of the good players.
Yeah, well, if they want anyone to do, I'm happy to do that for any Premiership. I'm not sure that they'd like me as much as they'd like you. I mean, I'm not going to shit in anyone's bath if that's part of the fun. Yeah, but it's an amazing story of you know that you completely stage yourself. And you know you've stood up to a lot of these managers. If you didn't like them, you would speak your mind. So you're kind of an old fashioned. You're quite an old fashioned Yorkshireman in a way. You're quite an old fashioned footballer in a way. But I think there's something progressive and exciting about you as well. That you're very interesting personality. And I think that being standing up to the people who are paying your wages and who are deciding whether you're going to go in the team, that's pretty bold. But who you are, or
yeah, the thing about it is we're grown men.
Yeah,
just because you're my manager, I can still have an opinion, and I can tell you my opinion. If you don't like it, fair enough. Yeah. As long as I tell you in a respectful way, I don't feel in not so respectful ways. if I come and say, look, I think we should be doing this. It's only for the benefit of the team.
Yeah,
if you can fuck me off and just deny you're full of shit, fair enough. But at least I've had my opinion on what I think. And some managers will take that on board, and most of mine just fucked us off.
Yeah. But, to be a player who's not, doesn't want to do the fitness stuff that some of the managers want you to do, and who's drinking before, not necessarily before games, occasionally before games. But, but you're going from one job to the next, and did the reputation not follow you some in a way? I mean, did it make it difficult to move on to some clubs sometimes? Did you feel you were going to get the chance to move on?
Not really. I mean, I think the first time I was out of contract in a summer, I was 32.
Right.
So throughout I'd still got a year, 2 years left on my contract before I moved to when I moved to another team. So it never got like that. It were. I don't think I got a reputation because I was never an arsehole.
No.
I weren't. That's my missus, that is crap. Yeah, I was never an actual arsehole.
No.
You know what I mean? So what managers do is a manager will identify a player. And if they've been in the game long enough, he'll know someone who knows him or has worked with him. Say, what's Parky like? Yeah, good as gold. Nice, good in the changing room. Shit at pre-season, but you're not going to get any problems with him. Trouble, real trouble. So people, you get a reputation for being an all right lad. Which has helped me, I think.
Yeah, well, I think you say it like you see it, and you're blunt, If you're allowed to say that about Yorkshire people still without that being offensive.
They're blunt. Or?
Blunt. You're blunt.
My hearing's terrible, sorry. Like I said, you're
but,
a, yeah.
But you know, you're delivering it. You're delivering what the is required. It's you know, it's sort of it is fascinating.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Let's talk about like the times that you're when you know you're calling up physios and you know injuring yourself and in you know you, there's a top point where you injure yourself on holiday and you cover it up, or well, not even on holiday, when you're training you call up the physio. I can't remember how you trip over the alarm clock or something in your room.
Yeah, that were early doors.
Yeah,
that well, we're only sort of 18 then. We went to pre-season trip, so you do a sort of a week at the training ground, and you have a week away.
Yeah,
sometimes longer. And Nigel Spatman, as the Barnsley manager, in his wisdom, took us to Las Americas for our pre-season trip.
Okay,
we were fucking bang in the middle of the bastard as well. You know what I mean? We could hear it. As I said, I was only 18, and I managed to not sneak out. All the rest of the older lads, they're out every night.
Yeah,
they're shimmying down drain pipes, fire doors, the lot. And I didn't go out. And then the last night, we were allowed a night out. We played a game, then we were allowed a night out, and we got a bit of a warm down the next day. So we played the game. We went out. I was like a fucking caged animal, by the way, for 6 nights in Las Americas and I'm stayed in.
Yeah.
Right. So the Friday night that we were allowed out, I fucking went ballistic. honestly, absolutely ballistic. So my alarm's gone off the next morning. I've managed to get back to the hotel room fine, which obviously bonus. So my alarm clock's gone off and I've got out of bed and I've just fucking gone bush, fell over.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Jesus, grandma, I'm still pissed. So I tried getting up again, fell over again. I twisted my ankle on the night out.
Nice.
Right. So we get down to the warm down, and I'm thinking I'm in trouble here. I managed to get through it, hobble through it. Like they just said, well, fucking hell, he had a good night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Look at him, he's even tail off in this jog. So anyway, so we get to the airport, gets on the plane. Anyway, the ankle just went massive. So we get to Manchester Airport. The manager, Nigel Spatman, says, you've got a game tomorrow. I'm like, right, okay. I can't play this game tomorrow.
Yeah.
My ankle looks like Elephant Man. You know what I mean? It's that bad. So I got I said to the physio who I got on really well with, I said, Jim, I'm really sorry, but I've twisted my ankle on the night out. Right, okay, no problem. He says, phone me in the morning and tell me that you've got up in the middle of the night, you've gone to the toilet and you've tripped up off your alarm clock. I can work with that. You know what I mean? That's fucking fine for me. So I got back, went to bed. Next morning, phone's Jim. Jim, you never believe what's happened. Says, go on. I said, I've gone up in middle of the night for a piss. I've tripped over my alarm clock and I've twisted my ankle. Right, no problem. Come in. I were out for 3.5 months with this ankle. And in that time, where the manager got sacked, as you can imagine, we'd been to Las Americas for his trip. We didn't win many fucking games at the start of the season. So he got sacked and the new manager came in and pretty much hated us. So that was the end of my Barnsley career.
Right.
And that's when I came to York. I actually nearly fucked it off. I was that close, just fucking it off. So I said, nah, it's not for me.
Well, you nearly became a nursery nurse.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems... There's a lot of things about you that seem...
I just think you're taking the piss.
I do, but you trained to be able to become a nursery nurse.
Yeah, I went to college to be a nursery nurse.
Yeah.
I swear to God. I'm not taking the piss, I swear to God. I were on placement.
Yeah.
I were a placement at a nursery.
Yeah.
I had to do...
It just seems, you know, it seems an unusual sight, a step.
Yeah, but
even
I did it from me. I went on me, you know, my work experience from school at 14. I went to a nursery.
Right, okay.
So I'm at college. I had to do 10 hours a week placement. So I used to do sort of 7 hours on a Wednesday and then an hour and a half, 2 nights a week. And I were at York at the time, and I got injured. So the physio used to have me in on the Wednesdays. So I think I were out for maybe two and a half months. So I weren't getting home until sort of 5 o'clock tea time on a night. So I just couldn't physically get me 10 hours a week in because I've been on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that's the reason that I'm not fucking nursery nurse.
I mean, it's their lot. It's the nursery nurse world's loss.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
The other surprise, while we're on the surprising things, is you're very good friends with the novelist Jilly Cooper, who in fact writes an intro an intro to your book. I mean,
yeah,
it sounds
very
like...
Very good friends.
Very good friends.
She's more agile than what she looks, I'll tell you. No, we're not that good of friends. Yeah.
I think she'd like to be that good friends. Yeah,
well, she sends me Valentine's Day cards every year.
Yeah.
It's the only one I fucking get.
But she's written you a lovely intro to the book.
Yeah.
So she was researching a book about football.
That was the thing. When I were at Forest Green, she lives not far from Forest Green, and she started going to a few games and what have you, and she was writing a sort of a Riders, Jilly Cooper's Riders, football type book.
Yeah.
So
they're very rude, this audience. I do apologise.
So I got invited to her house one afternoon. She just wanted to know how football worked and stories and stuff like that. So I went up to her house. Her assistant fetched little fucking cucumber sandwiches in triangles.
Yeah.
I'm like, where the fuck am I? You know what I mean? What? I'm from Barnsley here. What am I doing here? I've got a fucking greyhound lying next to me. Just kept coming up licking my face and... Obviously, you can't say, Jilly, get your fucking dog off the road. I mean, I'm in her house. So we've been friends ever since. I mean, she invited us to a summer party. So we've gone to a summer party. There's fucking lords there, Majeski's there. Yeah. And there's this guy. Richard, this is my accent of Jilly.
Yeah.
Richard, come and meet this fucking lovely guy. Richard Madeley. Yeah. Swear to God, it was Richard Madeley. So introduced me to Richard Madeley in her garden under a big fucking marquee and whatever and all that. It's tables.
Yeah.
So I started talking to Richard Madeley, right? And we got talking and that, and he just went, yeah, me and my wife, we're in television. I went, fucking no shit, Sherlock. I said, I've been watching you for the last fucking 15 years. I said, is your wife come on up? We're quite good when the cans dropped out, weren't it, that time? Well, I might see Judy's Whappers here. So, yeah, so I'm at fucking Jilly Cooper's party. Yeah. Jilly Cooper's invited this fucking scrope from Barnsley to her summer party. And I'm sat next to lords.
Yeah.
Men with titles.
Yeah. But, you know, there's some magic in there, John. There's something about you. She said she's very complimentary about the book, which is, you know, it is a really good book, but for Jilly Cooper to compliment you on the way it's written, she says, in the voice, she says, I'm like, a lot of these books are really shit, but this is generally, you know, you don't want to get this job if someone asks you to write a forward because, you know, they can be bad books. But it's, to get Jilly Cooper saying it's a great book is a massive compliment.
Yeah. I just wish I'd have written it. Well, if I'd have written it, it would have been shy. It would have been for them fucking nursery kids if I'd have written it.
You've written it with someone else, but that is, yeah, but it's...
Maybe not, actually. Yeah.
But it's... I don't know. I think there's a lot of similarities between football and what I do in a way, you know, that it's, it's an entertainment. It's a sport... There's a lot of similarities, not all of it. There's a lot of...
You have to name them.
There's a lot of... Well, it's about the other side of it, right? Not the running around bit. Though I'm quite good at running. I couldn't do that test, I don't think. But, you know, you're getting young kids getting into it. And I think more so with football, though, is that they've come from often just any background, a lot of working class people, and then suddenly earning huge amounts of money, which happens with entertainment as well. And the way that can... You know, that could destroy people and that can send people over the edge. They become too full of themselves, which I don't think you ever did. You know, some bad stuff happens when you have, you know, lots of drink and lots of money and lots of alcohol, lots of drugs maybe, and lots of girls.
Oh, no, I never went down the drug road.
But, you can't,
because obviously you get tested regularly. Sure. But I never would have gone down that route anyway. I went down fucking every other route, but apart from that one.
Yeah, yeah. But I find the books, you touch on the depression that you suffered when you were away from home. I mean, you're very solidly Barnsley, born and bred, and very loyal to Barnsley and Yorkshire. And when you're away from home for a season or two, then you really struggled, right?
It was when I were at Cardiff. I was just going through my divorce. So my ex-wife had moved back north with my little boy, who was sort of two.
Yeah.
I got this fucking lovely farmhouse, a family house, and I'm in it on my own.
Yeah.
230 miles away from home. Football was shit. Malcolm McKay, the manager, absolutely hated me. And it was horrendous. I used to finish training and I'd go home and I'd just get in bed. And then I'd get up next day for training. And fucking Malcolm McKay would be absolutely battering me. Fucking fuck. Yeah, fuck. And I just totally ignore him.
Yeah.
And then I go home and I get in bed. And I was on the most money I'd ever been on. And it just didn't make a blind bit of difference. The fact that I was away from my little boy. The divorce bit, I was fine with that. Fucking should have happened fucking 3 years earlier. the divorce bit, I could cope with that, but it was being that far away from my little boy.
Yeah.
Football was shit, and that's how I went. So I went to see the doctor, and I says, I think I'm struggling. He says, right, he referred me to a different doctor, and then he put me on some tablets, and things were a little bit better. And I was very fortunate that I managed to get on loan to Doncaster for a month so I could move home.
Yeah,
and then I got on loan to Huddersfield for 2 months over Christmas, which was fucking sensational. Like, you know what I mean? I'm home for Christmas. This sums up how fucking unlucky I am, by the way. Right? So I went to Huddersfield in League One. Huddersfield have not got beaten. They've not lost a game for 54 games.
Yeah.
That's a fucking lot of games, by the way. My first game, Charlton Athletic away. Charlton Athletic 2, Huddersfield 0. My debut for Huddersfield. Not got beat for 54 games. Second game, at home to Brentford, I think. Huddersfield 0, Brentford 1. I never played another fucking game for them. That was it. They got beat, not got beat for 54, they got beat the 55th and the 56th, the ones that our bastard played in. So luckily, I got back for Christmas, and then that ended, and then I got to Scunthorpe on loan for sort of 2.5 months. So for 6.5 months out of the 9 month season, I was back home. And soon as I got home, I was fine.
Yeah.
Fucking good as gold. It was just being down there and being away from my little boy mainly.
Yeah, but it's tough. I mean, those are the bits that you saw. When I'm travelling a lot of my job, not to the same extent as that, where you're based somewhere else for a long, long time, not usually. But it's difficult, and you're someone who's clearly very, the loyalty you have to your boy especially, but to your hometown, and it's wonderful. And you also got quite into gambling though as well. I think it's when you suddenly got loads of money, and it's properly lots of money, right?
Not suddenly.
Well,
sort of when I sort of went from League Two up to the Championship.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gradually got more and more from there.
Yeah.
I'm another fucking. This is how unlucky I am at gambling. Fucking hell! I tell you, I'm very unlucky. So we're playing Scunthorpe away Tuesday night, and we're in a hotel in Scunthorpe Monday night, and the American Open, the tennis,
yeah.
American, whichever fucking big one is of that, right? Roger Federer's won it 6 years in a row. 6 years in a row. And he's in the final against Del Potro, right? So he's won every match for 6 years and then another tournament apart from the final.
Yeah.
Never bet on tennis. I thought, fucking Roger Federer cannot lose this. Roger Federer got beat in 5 sets, didn't he? I had the biggest bet I've ever had in my life on it.
Yeah.
And he got fucking... And I got a game that next night. And I'm up at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning watching this American tennis shit.
But is the gambling something you're still a gambler? Or
No, I don't gamble now. I went to see someone about it and got that sorted. And it's... People not actually understand. People will say, well, why do you gamble if you're a footballer and you've got all this money and all that? It's more, you sort of, 3 o'clock on a Saturday or quarter to eight on a Tuesday, that is when you are fucking working your eye as a kite. And all you're trying to do basically is get the same feeling as scoring a goal. Or playing in front of 25,000, 30,000. The money's, you're not asked about the money. It's just the buzz and the thrill of it. I mean, like what, you look at sort of pop stars, rock stars, why do they take drugs?
Yeah.
Because they're on a stage in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people. There's nothing else in their life that can recreate that.
Yeah.
That feeling. So they just take whatever they take.
Yeah,
and for footballers, they can't do that. So gambling's your way out. You get a lot of time off. So that's why a lot of footballers go down that route.
Yeah. But even when you're playing, when you say you got there gradually, but you're earning more a week than you would have dreamt of, like at school. You're suddenly being paid thousands of pounds a week, right? At pretty much any level, or £1,000 a week, even like. It's not bad money, especially for a 17, 18 year old. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't expect to.
Yeah, when I signed for York, I think I signed for £800 a week at 19 year old in 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, we went into administration the first time we were at York. We went into administration, right? And we got paid 2 weeks' wages in 3 months, I think it were. I couldn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I got loads of money at bank.
Yeah.
I live with my mum and dad. Happy as Larry. Still going out 3 times a week.
Yeah.
The rest of the lads who've got mortgages and all that commitments and everything, they're pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, we'll get paid eventually, won't we? And that's our hour.
Yeah. There's so much to talk to you about, and there won't be time, but we'll mention, I really, really recommend the book Feed the Beast. You also do a fantastic football podcast, Under the Kosh, which is very worth listening to. As well as I love the story about you being late for, you got late for training, the way you got out of that. And I mean, you're a very cheeky man. And you seem to get away with that. That's what I mean. You seem to get away with the cheekiness of managing to get that injury, getting that physio to cover for you when you're out for 3.5 months that's down to your personality.
Well, it's a struggle.
But you know, not he wouldn't have done that for everyone, right? I don't think, would he?
Maybe not.
That's a nice gesture. The way you got out of this being late for training, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Timekeeping was never my forte.
Yeah.
And I used to travel sort of, I think it was maybe 100 miles from Barnsley to Preston over the M62 on a morning and come home at night. And that 62 was absolute torture, as probably everybody will know. And it used to take me with, if I didn't hit too many red lights, it used to take me an hour and 42 minutes.
Right.
So if I hit like 4 more red lights than what I'd given myself time for, I was fucked, I was late. So I woke up one morning and it was snowing. It'd been snowing. I'm like, oh no, there's no chance I'm going to get in. So I tried to get in. I thought, I'm not going on the 62. I'll go through Huddersfield, the back way. Hopefully that'll not be as bad. Anyway, it was fucking rammed. Absolutely rammed. So it got to sort of just enough time for me to be in Huddersfield, but get to work. And I know I'm fucked. I have no chance of getting in. I had to be in for 10 o'clock. I'm looking at 12 at the earliest.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, what can I do? I'll say I've had a car crash. So phones the assistant manager up. Rob, you never believe what's happened. Some fucking arseholes hit me in the snow. I've had a crash. Are you all right? You're honestly, my neck's a bit sore. But I'm all right. But obviously, I'm not going to be able to get into training. Don't worry about it, mate. Honestly, it's fine. As long as you're all right, get everything sorted. So it turns back. So it gets me off home. And I realise that I'd not be able to use my car for the next week or so.
Yeah.
But it's in the garage getting fixed from this imaginary car crash. So I had to take a different car for a week and a half, but the lads knew what I were like, and believe it or not, they didn't believe me.
Right, weird.
So we were playing away on a Friday night. We're in a hotel, and the lads are wanting to find me sort of £500 for not turning into training.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I've had a fucking car crash. No, you've not. I have had a fucking car crash, mate. And I was adamant that I'd had this car crash. I says, right, I'll tell you what we'll do then. We'll put it to the vote. So he gets in the hotel on the Friday night. I get one of them flip charts. So I'm drawing streaks on these flip charts. My car, another car coming that way. Arrows. It were like one of them, you know, with kids.
Yeah.
You know, when you got one of them little things where you put your trains and your cars around. It were like one of them on a sheet of paper. And I says, right, we'll put it to the vote. This is what happened. Vote. And it went round, I think it was maybe 9-all. Right. And I've got one player left. So if he said it's false,
yeah,
it would cost me £500. If he says it's true, I weren't getting fined. Luckily, I got on really well with this kid, so I never got fined a penny for it and got away with it. And then, obviously, up until recently, I've told all the lads it were a total fabrication.
The fact you have to go through all that, the fact that they know it's, that's what I love. They basically know you're lying and then they still go through it all and you still get away with it.
Well, the fact that I went in a different car, weren't
it? That's good. I was going to ask you how they didn't stick at the car and then that's the answer. But there we go. But I don't know. It's, yeah. It's, I don't know. There's something very appealing about you. I completely understand why everyone, I don't say puts up with this stuff, but it's because it's not exactly that, is it? It's fun to have you around, and you were good at the job as well. And so now you, what's the plans now? You've the playing days are over.
Oh yeah, thank fuck. Yeah. The playing days are done. We do the podcast. Apparently there's not, well, you won't think looking at him, but apparently there's some money in it. so we'll try that.
Come cheap.
We've got a YouTube channel, and then do a bit of rapping and speaking.
Yeah. Would you be coming, because you're so hard on the managers you had, and would you ever consider being a manager? Is that something you're sort of saying in the book you'd like to give it a go? But
yeah, I think, I don't know if I'd be too old school for it and too, a bit too nasty. But,
do you think you would be nasty? I think you'd be too nice for it.
I'm an horrible bastard.
Yeah.
I swear to you, on the pitch, I'm a horrible, horrible bastard. Yeah. If somebody needs a bollocking, I'll give them a bollocking.
Sure.
But the kids can't take it now. They're right. All soft as a tub of spunk, a lot of them. They really, really are. You batter someone, right? And then they just go under, which is totally different to when I started. And you can borrow that one if you want. Yeah, you can keep that one. So I think I'd be... The lads would hate us.
Yeah.
Because they can't take criticism, and we used to get fucking annihilated. You fucking useless bastard. Imagine being in a normal job and your manager saying, you fucking useless bastard. You'd be straight into HR, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd be getting fucking, you'd getting like a comic relief check, wouldn't you? There you go. This is me, fucking £90,000 for being called an arsehole.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird job where you're, you know, where your wages are being docked for you. You know, they can just say you're not going to get paid for 4 weeks or whatever. Yeah, well, that doesn't really happen in many jobs.
Unless it's something really bad. Yeah, yeah. Two's the maximum. But even if I were guilty, I'd still fucking take it to PFA and argue.
Yeah.
I would argue it. It's not right, this.
Yeah. You're a cheeky fucker, and it's good. I like it. It's a... Well, look, we've talked about it enough. The book's fantastic. I listened to it on audiobook, which I think you should have done yourself. You were saying backstage you'd like to have a crack at it, but there's an actor playing you. He's good, but I'd like to have heard you do it.
Well, they said it were out of my fucking pay grade, I think. They said it's not as easy as what they say. So.
Yeah, it's just talking. It's all right. It's actually just reading. I think that's...
That's where I struggle. one of the little kids' books at nursery, well, fine. Just pointing at the pictures and the sheep and the cows and stuff and all that.
Well, I really hope, I know you've been doing some punditry on the York City game tonight, which I've got a gambling problem. I put £10 on that, and that's a lot of money for me. And I pulled out of the two. I didn't have faith in my own decision. Cashed in for 30, well, 32 quid. I could have had £119.
You can get another two of them jumpers then, can't you?
This is a very designer jumper. there's so many more stories in the book. It's and please write one just about food, and no football at all. Just about the times you've been annoyed about not getting what you wanted to eat. I would definitely read that. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. Yorkshire's John Buggins. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're done. Thanks very much, guys. I'll be around there in a sec.
You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, John Parkin. He's a beast. Thank you to Pest for the music for this show. I'd also like to thank the Grand Opera House in York, where this podcast was recorded. I'd like to thank Go Faster Stripe and Chris Evans, particularly, not that one. I'd like to thank all the guys and who did the sound and filming for this amazing series. I'm indebted to my producer James Hingley. I'm indebted to my series producer Ben Walker, and I'm very indebted to my executive producer Andrew Evans. There's nothing funny to say about that. It's just a normal name. We didn't have a nickname for him. We just called him Andrew Evans every time we mentioned him on set, every time he sent an email in giving us we didn't have any. There's just nothing that notable about him, but thanks for being the executive producer. You are good.
Have a lovely Valentine's Day if you're listening to this on the day of release. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Go to richchang.com/gigs to find out all about the upcoming gigs. Go to GoFasterStrike.com/badges to become a monthly badger. You know how it works by now. Why do I have to keep telling you? Or just tell your friends about the podcast. Seriously. That's all we need. Just more listens. Thank you. Goodbye. Go away.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.